Evening. This thing. Oh, good. We're on. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to present the word to you. It's always a privilege to be in the Lord's house. We're going to talk about that tonight. We think about it a lot. Give a quick little report. We had baptism last month, so we always rejoice over that. And it's a labor of love. It takes a long time. You got to be patient. And this young lady we've been working with for a couple years, few years, and she submitted to a few things. In the meantime, probably going to have to do discipline here pretty soon. And isn't that something? Ebb and flow in the Lord's house, and at the risk of offending somebody, you know, we got a lot of religion around us in the Lord's house, and not out in the world. Psalm 122, by the way, not out in the world, but in the Lord's house, we got a lot of religion, and I think sometimes we forget about the simple things, the basic things of our operation as a New Testament church, as a lighthouse and a community, as representatives of Christ, that it is hard, just like anything else in life, if you're going to represent Jesus, his way, his truth, his life, but not live it, I mean, who's going to listen to you? It's just kind of the way it is. Who's going to pay attention to your words when they see the way you live and the other words that you say? And so there's a lot of religion around us, and there's so much misunderstanding of just the simple order of God. Preach the gospel. Preach Christ crucified. Encourage baptism. Encourage the one way of baptism. Don't even engage in any of the other options that are out there, and encourage them to be part of a New Testament church, and when they get in there, do the best they can to be involved in everything. And don't be afraid to push Bible studies, ladies' meetings, men's meetings, youth rallies, revivals. Leslie and I have been told to our face, it's offensive to us. Our work is here. It is here, and we do our work here. But man, there's a lot of association work that we can do too. I mean, it's not like we can't. We have cars, we have time, we have resources. We can be involved in the Lord's work all the time. I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's just too much maintenance. Well, is there any such thing as too much maintenance? I mean, do the maintenance and then go out and do the work too. The attitude of coming into the Lord's house, Psalm 122 here, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And this seems to be like, I remember, you know, Brother Roger hitting us there at the back with the Hebrews 10:25. And how many years did you hear that? And some of the phone calls to Alaska, Hebrews 10:25. And we move back and it's the same thing, Hebrews 10:25. And people, you know, they throw off on it and they grind on it and they poke at you. And it's a little too much here, a little too much there. Well, I mean, if the Bible says be glad and you're not there, and you complain when you are there, there's an issue with your heart. Right. It's nobody else's problem. It's your problem. If you don't like going into the Lord's house, you have a problem with Jesus Christ. And I get kind of snappy sometimes. I kind of want to be there when you take that up with Jesus, the problem that you have with him. Because it's evident you got a problem with him. And it goes back to, well, what's the one thing that we encourage all the time, you know, our main phrase, we say it monotone like a cult and we rock back and forth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And it just in one ear and out the other. Well, how do you please God if you don't know what makes him happy? And the idea of a sanctuary and just the name of a sanctuary and to call it a sanctuary, I've been noticing some things about myself here of late that remind me of some of my childhood memories. I have some things cross-wired up here, or they're so narrowly wired. Do we get technical enough with God's terms to actually understand what he's talking about? The sanctuary. Are you glad to go into the presence of God in safety where you as a debtor and a criminal can be in the presence of the judge without fearing that penalty. That's a sanctuary. And it wasn't a place where God says, well, if you can get there, fine. No, this is a place where God says, I want you to come here as off as you will. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Look back at Psalm 26. How much love do you have for his house? And again, this isn't a message about, you know, how do I look good living my life to all those around me? This is a message about checking your heart to make sure, are you in love with Jesus Christ and do you desire to be around him all the time? Because this is that one moment, as was mentioned already earlier, a little place of heaven where we're placed high in the presence of God. Where we're here 100%, by the way, and this is going to beat up on all the religion. We are not here to beg and grovel at all of our needs to God. You can do that at your bedside if you want to every night. We come here to give him honor and praise and glory. We come here to lift him up, and we let him know, I know what you've done for me, and I'm going to tell you. And I love being here, and there's no other place that I would rather be than here. But to some of us, it seems like such a drag to come to church. Verse number 8 here, it says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Have you? Do you? Do you love his house? Not because of the people, not because of the members of the body, but because of Jesus is the body. And Jesus is present. And Jesus is welcoming. And he wants you there too. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29 here in verse number 3. This is so compelling. It says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now, this goes into this prayer that our brother David gave concerning God and the offerings to build the temple. And King David, king of everybody, king of all things, acknowledged that God is the king. God is the power. God is everything. But he says again, moreover, I have set my affection on the house of God. That's my desires. That's my thoughts. That's my wants. That's my wishes and my will is the house of God. Yeah. You know, and you think about that tabernacle and you think about the priests and their duty was, and their duty was to go butcher them animals, listen to the sins of the people, hear them come in, bull after bull, goat after goat, sheep after sheep, turtle dove after turtle dove, and complain and whine about all their sin and beg God to forgive them and cutting the throats and seeing the blood and smelling it all. But where was their affection? Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to use supposition here or play religion, but I don't know. I mean, I've been around Brother Ryan, the Newtons. I think we can gut some animals for a few days, but after a week or two, I mean, I don't know if I'm getting up for that. You know, that's not why I'm getting up. I got to do more. But when it was time to go into that sanctuary, the love and the affection, and I know sometimes I play around in the mind's eye, you know, looking back every once in a while at that laver, going, man, I cannot wait to get cleaned up. I cannot wait to hit the Word of God, get myself cleaned up. It was mentioned, this nasty, disgusting, hard world that we live in, and the causes for us to have sin in our mind and in our heart, that we get an opportunity to cleanse up through the Word, put on some special clothes, and go into the presence of God to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him and get excited about the promises that He's laid forward to us. Do you have affection for God's house? Go back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 here in verse number 4. And again, let's pick on us for not reading the scripture. Let's pick on us for, you know, being too narrow-minded when we study that, you know, maybe we have ulterior motives for the knowledge that we want to gain out of the Word rather than just looking at it and seeing, well, how does God want my attitude to be towards Him? What is God looking for in me that I might please Him? How am I going to have that peace and comfort in my life in the Spirit, knowing that Jesus already said you're going to have tribulation in this world? I mean, You guys got to quit trying to have, you know, walks in the park and cupcake lives. That's not going to happen. It's going to be hard. But inside, you could be at peace with all of that. You can be at peace with all that through the Lord. Verse number 4 here, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." All right, so we understand seek. Seek ye first the kingdom. This is an effort to go find something. And you're turning over every stone. And you're busting through the brush. And you're moving the garbage. And you're looking for this because you want it. And you're focused on it. This isn't a lackadaisical approach to, if he shows up, he shows up. No, the one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Boy, and it seems like, you know, things got a little bit backwards. You know, the harder life was for the Lord's New Testament church, the more they met. And then it got easy. And then they just quit meeting. And here we are, arguably, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, it's hard times. It's disgusting. It's rebellious. It's hurtful. It's damaged. It's destructive. Don't you want to be in the house of the God more? But it seems like we want to be here less. Seems like we want to be here less. You know, and I'm glad. You know how ornery I am. Sometimes I get pretty ornery, Brother Dale. I don't mean to. I fight it. I'm getting better at it. I don't find one shred of Bible where a church ought to have back-to-back services on Sunday. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't see one shred of Bible where a church has to change its service hours because the church members can't handle it and it needs to be more convenient for them. I don't see that in any aspect of our life, worship, and service for God where we have to make it convenient for us. Not sure the Father made anything very convenient for Jesus. And oh, by the way, let's not make a mistake. Just because he made a prayer in the garden about let this cup pass for me, he said many things prior to that. What do you think I'm here for? Remember when Peter stood up and said, "You're not going to die on my watch." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus knew this was going to happen for him. The Bible says that his joints were out and that his bones stared back at him and that his tongue clave to his mouth. He couldn't carry his cross. How'd he get up there? It's a hard walk. Okay? Don't go down the road of convenience. Listen, God's looking for sacrifice. What do you think a sacrifice is? What do you think a sacrifice? Look it up. If you think a sacrifice is you just getting everything you want and having a cakewalk in life and serving God, you got it all wrong. That's not what Jesus did. So we got to think about some of these verses. Is that what you desire, is to be in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? Because I think some of us don't. And it's pretty clear. And we're supposed to be a body together. And just like my body has parts that doesn't want to work together with the other parts of the body, it's annoying. It hinders me. It slows me down. It prevents me from doing what I need to do. It prevents me from being successful. Sometimes I get angry at it. And there are times medically where we have to remove body parts because they just don't work with the body. And if we leave them there too long, they're going to kill the body. So what do you think you're doing when you don't want to be part of the body? Okay. Do you love God? Do you desire God? Well, how do you know how to love God and desire God if you're not reading about him? If you're not studying about him, if you're not praying to him and talking to him and continually exercising these things, being part of his work, having fellowship with him, putting your hand in his hand and going out there and preaching to the world and teaching people in your home, going to your neighbors, living your life for God. That's the simple work. And that's what we preach all the time. And it's in the Word of God. And he gives you instructions. He gives you outlines. He gives you examples. He gives you commandments. He gives you the system, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You don't have to doubt, question, scratch, and be fuddled about anything. Just do it. But only you in your own heart can you decide to love God and have affection towards him and his house. Man, we hear too many times, Leslie and I, we do a lot of Bible studies with people. We do a lot of visiting. We see brethren. We spend time listening and talking to them. And this goes out on the internet, and everybody knows, who's ever's watching on the internet. You know, we hear a lot of brethren talking bad about churches a lot. And bad about church people a lot. And we do the best that we can to try to squelch that firestorm and just redirect it as to, well, you know, we're all sinners, and they're trying to do the best they can. And God's got to give us space. God gave me space. Didn't he give you space? Didn't he give you some time? Because I can tell you what I was doing the first 5-10 years of church membership. Sure, I went to every service I could, and I went to most of them. Sure, I sang with the songs. Sure, I taught some classes, did some treasury work, led some singing. But was I really converted? It took a few things. You know, it took actually some battles in life. It took some very, very hard decisions physically and carnally. Some things where I felt like I was all alone except for the fact that God was there. And I guess, I mean, this is it. We're doing it. Otherwise, I was religious. Just thinking I knew what was going on. Look back here at Deuteronomy 12. How do you approach God's house? Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter here, verse number 5. There's so much disrespect. There's so much dishonoring. There's so much disbelief and antichrist attitude when it comes to two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. Two or three are gathered together in his name, his authority, his church. By the way, that passage is clearly talking about church. Not a couple of good old boys sitting around a coffee table saying, oh, there's three of us here. We can be church now. I think that's dumb. My carnal mind, I'm going to preface this with, I saw it on a professional vehicle so I can say it for myself. There's a professional contractor in Redmond area, and his business is called Touchitism. And I know what that's all about. It's about when the measurement is 35 and 3/16, then it's exactly 35 and 3/16. Otherwise, there would be no purpose for a 16th mark on a tape measure, and we wouldn't write it down on a blueprint, and we certainly wouldn't want to build it that way if it didn't mean for it to be built that way. You see what I'm getting at here? A little technical, huh? Is God technical? Or do we play around with, well, maybe God does say what he says or what he does? If God says, I am in the midst, if God says it's a sanctuary, he gave us the picture of the tabernacle, and he says that I am on the right hand of the Father, and we have the picture of Isaiah in the presence of God, John the Beloved in the presence of God. When we see these things of him coming to his disciples before he ascends and they fall down and worship him, what's your attitude when you come into the Lord's house? And what are you bringing in here? I will never accept electronics as part of God's house. I'll never accept it. I won't do it. If you have a Bible made out of rice paper, that's going to work. If you got it on your pad, I think you got a problem. I think there's an addiction. I can't get to the books fast enough. Well, then practice at home. You got 7-8-year-olds here that can whoop you in sword drills. I think you can get there. Because this is all about an attitude. It's not about searching for easy all the time. That's what we always do. We search for easy. Search for cool. Search for convenience. How about learn the scripture by studying it every day so you know where the books are in your Bible? You know the order that they go in. You have marks on the side because of where your thumbprints go. And you can just look at it, know exactly where by the thickness of it, of your Bible, because you're in it all the time, where the books are at. And you will also know that when you come into the presence of God, we have a picture of two men that died because they didn't come in the right way. But it doesn't happen here today, so it doesn't matter, so we come in whichever way we want to. There ain't no dress code. You dress the way ever you want to dress, fine, do it. Then go talk to God, see how he thinks about it. We bring in stuff in our purses and in our wallets and in our pockets. We bring in our phones and oops, we didn't turn them off. Cause somebody right on the edge of asking for salvation and here's a phone going off and they lost it that time. There's all kinds of, oh, you're going too far. It's all these cliches. Listen, we're in the presence of God. God's right here. This is his sanctuary. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to Springfield. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation, shall you seek, and thither thou shalt come. It's his. It's where he put his name. It's where we're going to worship. It's where we're going to offer, where we're going to praise, where we're going to tithe, where we're going to have fellowship, where we're going to pray, because he's there. We're not here for any other thing. We're not here for phones. We're not here for candy. We're not here for drinks. We're not here for playing around, seeing our buddy. We are here to give honor and glory to God in our own heart and our own mind, because that's where he is at tonight. That's what we ought to do. And why should we do that? Because we love him. Unless, of course, you don't love him as much as the things that you brought in here you love. And we know that that's a thing too. Look at Isaiah 37 here. Our major problem, our one problem that causes us the most death and destruction, more than the lust of flesh and more than the lust of eyes, it is the pride of life. Our pride prohibits us from being humbled. Our pride forces us to rise above. Our pride makes us think about how much better we are than others. Our pride causes us to accuse others, attack others. Our pride causes us to highlight what problems other people have. Our pride causes us to look into our heart and say, I would never do that, and I don't do those things. And our pride will never let us recognize the things that we do against God, the things that we say against God, and who we are as a depraved human against God. Do we approach God that way in his house? Isaiah 37 here, verse 1, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to rend your heart and tear down that soul and spirit and mind of yours, knowing that you are depraved? And just like the Spirit through Brother Paul told the church at Rome, I look to my flesh and there's no good there. There's no good there. That the only righteousness that I have is in by and through Jesus Christ. That the only acceptance that I have is obeying the will of God through his word. That's the only way that I could ever be in the presence of God. If I were to come to God with myself, he would utterly reject me. Utterly reject me. Every aspect of anything that's acceptable to the Father is because of what Jesus has done and my willingness to let him do it through me and yield my body to him. You use me the way you want to, and not my will, but thine be done. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm not going to think of it my way. I'm not going to do it the way I've always done it. I'm going to look into the scripture and get it done the way God wants it done. Because God is worthy to be loved and honored that way. Because of how much he's done for us. How much he's done for me. And that's part of the awesome privilege to come into the Lord's house, even just three times a week, is we still don't have enough time to tell him all the things that he's done for us. Every single thing. And boy, I wonder how many of us would hurt in our mind if we even tried to think about, because we just don't put him that much. We don't sanctify him. We don't put him first in our mind and our heart. We don't think about the goodness of God in my life because I was always good. That if somebody were to challenge you, start writing down, go back, remember the things that God has done for you. And if you even could do that. If you even could do that. Psalm 5. Psalm 5, and I think about this mercy all the time because of the records that we have. And, I mean, we don't even have to go into the Old Testament to shake a little bit in our bones when we read about Ananias and Sapphira, New Testament church members. I mean, sometimes you hear people say, and I understand why Jeremiah was told, you need to be hard. Don't fear their faces. Because people say things, and you immediately want to go right at their throat. And you know if you do, it's going to cause a firestorm. You know, talking about the Lord's Supper and really trying to get to the depths of our spirituality and thinking about, you know, we remember he died for us. But examine yourself, because if you take it unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself, judgment. You're going to be judged. Not seeing a difference with God's body than your own carnal ways. Not seeing a difference in the peculiarity of the Lord's New Testament church. It's different. It's special. We don't just act the way we do out there in the world in the God's house. And when I say in God's house, I'm not talking about Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm talking about as a member of that building. You don't act that way. And then it just comes out, well, yeah, that's why people are sick in churches. So I cannot wait for you to have a chat with Job. Because I don't know anybody in my life for 30-some years in the Lord's work that has experienced what Brother Job experienced. And he had some friends there that said, boy, Job, you need to confess them sins. Fess up to it, you arrogant, self-righteous, pompous jerk. Your family's dying. And oh, what vengeance in chapter 42. Hey, friends, you spoke wrong.
That's right.
My servant Job, he spoke right things. So the humility aspect is really missing in our life, that we go so far as to say, yeah, that's why people are sick in churches, because they don't examine them. You better be careful. You be careful how you treat God's house. Mercy. Do any of us belong here? You owe it to me? Look what I've done. What do we say about mercy? What does the Bible say about mercy? What happens when there's no mercy? Are we not consumed? Are we not consumed? Chapter 5 here, excuse me, Psalm 5. I get on, it's not chapters, it's books of songs. Yes, technicalities. Verse 7 here, it says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. We've been talking this, you know, Brother Cooper over here really started this thought process in my mind this year at seminary school is, you know, where does wisdom come from? And where, if you think about the simple fear of the Lord is the beginning of. And you read that God's people have such ignorance. What about today? And the great falling away, and the people that have all this, they have godliness, they ever learning, but never come to knowledge. And you think to yourself, well, there's probably no fear. And so what causes you to fear God? How about take a look in the scripture and then look at yourself? Are you not afraid of God? Listen, I can tell you right now, not with arrogance, my wife knows this. Some of it is because I don't have a fuse, or I have a really short little itty bitty fuse. I'm not afraid of anybody. Not afraid of anybody. I don't walk around acting tough guy, but I learned a long time ago that, you know, we're just people. And even when I say I'm not afraid of you, I'm not afraid to talk to somebody. I'm not afraid to give a handshake. I'm not afraid to sit down with somebody that is an egregious religious individual that is completely ignorant and talk Bible with them. I'm not afraid of that. I'm certainly not afraid of the government or afraid of my family. I'm not afraid of threats that I won't be your friend anymore. Be my friend anymore. Are you not afraid of God? So listen, you see Jesus, right? He's not a beautiful man, but boy, he loves you. And you see that in the scripture, that he has compassion for you. And he was moved for you. And he cried out for you. And he loves you. And he says, I'm going to die for you. And I'm not just going to have, and we went through Easter, and don't you just love those beautiful depictions of this gorgeous bearded man just hanging there on the cross with this peaceful look on his face, dead? Get out of here. He was a bloody mess. He was a chunk of meat hanging up there, naked and ashamed. Right, and he did that for you. And he looks over at that thief and he says, today you're going to, and that was joy for him. And then one day he's going to say, why didn't you live for me? And I don't even know if I'm afraid of the booming voice and the thunders of water as much as I am. Matthew 25. I never knew you. What do you mean? I thought we were tight. No, you thought that, but you weren't doing anything. That scares me to death. It scares me to death because he's given me everything I need to accomplish that. What are we lacking? What are we lacking to be able to be rooted and grounded and established in the faith and live our life unto death and have that white robe? What are we lacking that God left off that we can't accomplish that in this very hour? It's a food for thought. If you can't observe the Lord's Supper tonight, well, then you ain't ready for Christ to come back. Are you praying for that? Like if somebody with tears in their eyes gave you a testimony of what Christ did for them through the brutality of his salvation and the grace of his love and honor to invite you into his body, and that individual says, I want to observe his death tonight. Can you not? Give us 15 minutes in the kitchen to cook up some bread. Have somebody run down to the store and get some Welch's grape juice. And let's do it tonight. Challenge, are you examined? Are you washed? That would be unheard of. You'd have 15 hands going up saying, I don't think we ought to. More afraid of religion than you are of God. You know, he said he'd come back anytime. Are you ready for that? You ready for that? Multitude of mercy. How much mercy? Psalm 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. How many of you just sit silent when there's singing going on in the church? How many of you decide to go out in the foyer over there in the fellowship hall at singing time? Church don't really start until the invitations are over, or the, what do we do up here? What are those called? Announcements are over. A couple of specials are done. Maybe some prayers. And then, oh, preacher's up there. Now we better get in the sanctuary. It's pride. Sing. Sing. Because you want to in your heart, the message of what God's done for you, because it says to do that. It says to do that. Why will you not do it? Verse number 11 here, or verse 14, excuse me. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. I may show forth all thy praise in the gates. What do we do when we come together with our verbiage, with our talking? Do we share with one another the weekly praises of God? Or was it so boring, nothing really happened this week, just kind of through life and it is what it is and here we are? Not talking to somebody every day, not getting yelled at. Nobody told you, hey, I think I might want to go to your church. Simple thing like that, hey, I might want to go to your church. And I listen to prayers, and I know I'm going to get talked to about this. We do a lot more praying for people that are physically sick and dying than we are praying for those people that we are witnessing to, that seed may be planted deep into their soul and that it would show forth the fruits. Pray for that. Your coworker, your friend, your family is sick of the cancer. Pray that they get saved. Beg the church. Help me have the wisdom to say the things that I need to say to them. And if you haven't been preaching to them for years, get over it. It's behind you now. Do it today. But are we giving him praise in the Lord's house? Look what he's done for us. Look at everything. Look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84 here, verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul it's kind of the drama. It's where my daughter gets all of her overdrama from. I mean, some of these words in here, they're impactful to me. And it's not. I mean, I was doing a little work today, putting together a porch swing, and I noticed a couple of the bolts and nuts were going in the wrong direction, and I changed them. And oh boy, did I get the third degree for that. Do we look at the scripture that way? I'm afraid that we do. We just it's not that big of a deal, man. I'll never notice it. Don't say those things anymore. I'll read Psalms. I won't even notice those things. I just get the cotton candy out of there. You know, you buy that fancy trail mix at Costco, you dump it out on the table, and you get all the little M&Ms out of there, and you just eat all them up. My soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I mean, when was the last time you in your life, Even if it was 10 o'clock Monday morning and you're like, I cannot wait to get back in the Lord's house. I need to call a brother. I need to hear a voice. I need to put on a song. I need to do something. When was the last time you longed for the house of God? When was the last time your soul fainteth for the presence of the Lord? Make that a goal, a choice to look at yourself. Man, do I love God or what? Do I love his house? Do I love his people? Can I have that type of mercy and grace that Jesus Christ showed me when I was so sick and defiled and ungodly and unholy and a leper, and he touched me. He touched me and cleansed me. Can I not have that kind of longing for him because of what he's done for me? And folks, we are still putting an immense amount of energy and effort into this life that's going to end so quickly and everything's going to burn up and we're going to forget about God. Why are we doing that? What is our motivation in life? What are we so locked into that we can't make a change to say, you know what? A job is a job, man. It pays bills. I don't need a whole lot of stuff, but what I do need to do is go out there and get people saved. I need to tell them about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I need to tell all of my religious friends about the truth, the way, the life. I need to tell them about the one faith, the one house of God, the one baptism. And I need to be assertive, and I need to be accountable, and I need to have zeal, and I need to tell them the truth. And I don't care if they accept it or not, but I got this fire in me that says I got to tell them the truth because somebody's going to believe it. Jesus told me so. Somebody's going to believe it. And how exciting it is when they do. And by the way, it takes a couple, 3 years. That's what we're noticing lately. But thank God it does. Thank God it does. Hey, Brother Nate, I think I want to get baptized. Yes. You know, one time we worked with somebody for a couple, 3 years, and they came to our house and say, we're getting baptized. There's this church down. And I was like, what? What? No. 84 here, verse number 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. And I know I'm running out of time, but you talk about attitude. How many times have you heard it in the Lord's work? Man, I just can't get anything done here. Nobody likes me here. I got to go move to some other church. I got to go somewhere where God can use me. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 2, buddy, read that. Get that one down. Get that one down first before you go anywhere. Because God said, if you purge yourself, you'll be a vessel. Amen. Meet for use. It's on you, man. It's on you. We got to quit blaming people. Got to quit blaming people for our own decisions. Micah 4:2. Micah 4:2 here. I kept trying to get it after Daniel. It's after Jonah. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. He will walk, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We got told the other day here, we got, some church members that aren't exactly living their life of a church member, talking to church members of other churches about how they're encouraging people to go to church. Like I said, a touch of tism, man. None of that's making any sense. It sounded like you were talking foreign language to me. What are you doing? And then I look around at those that do come to church and that are part of Bible studies and that do go to youth rallies, and I wonder, well, how much evangelism do you do? Because that's really what's effectual, is you guys. You guys that are committing yourself to the Lord. It's not the priest didn't wake up in the morning, put on the fancy clothes, and go into the sanctuary. They hung out with all them sinners a lot. They talked to them sinners a lot. They talked about the law a lot to these sinners. From Zion, that's the Lord's New Testament church. That's Mount Zion. He's going to teach us here, and we will walk in his paths, and the law shall go forth of Zion. You don't know anything about Jesus if you're not committed to him in his house. If you're not committed to him being number one in your life. That your job is not number one, your family is not number one, but the Lord's house is number one. And the Lord's work is number one. What goes on into eternity? What does Jesus marry? What does he honor and lift up and extol? Your careers, your assets, possessions, your pictures. I mean, how many of us have about 37,000 digital pictures of things I can look up on the internet and see? I don't need to have pictures. I don't even need to go there to see it. I can just go online and see it. It's not that important. That stuff's going to burn up. It's going to dissolve. It's going to go away. Do you know what the new earth looks like? I don't. I know it doesn't have a sea. Here I was packing for halibut fishing to go to heaven. I got all my rods and everything and all my gear. Come to find out there's no sea. So now I got to wonder, do I really want to go to heaven? But that's how it sounds when we're like, church, preaching, doing the work, giving my life over, a little radical, a little too far. Psalm 23. You know, I really thought Brother Jared was going to do this tonight, and I was looking forward to that. But here we are. It's probably been an hour already. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Is that your goal? Is that your determination in this life? Is that you want to be with Jesus everywhere you go, knowing that that's what your eternity is? To be with him forever and to dwell with him forever. Nehemiah, the 10th chapter. Nehemiah 10. Here in verse number 39. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and of the new wine and the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. That right there is a vow and a commitment with a willing heart. Because of what God gave them and God did for them. And at that moment in their life, much like moments in your life, you realize how good God is. And now you want to serve him and worship him. And it says, we will not forsake the house of our God. Quit playing games with Hebrews 10:25. It's a game, folks. Listen, I know. That's the way you see it. I get that. I got a pretty strong conviction over that. Maybe you do too. Maybe you don't. Convinced that's going to be a topic of discussion, probably one of the main topics of discussion in that judgment seat of Christ. I'm not forsaking nothing. Well, you can tell me that all you want. Jesus is a little more technical than us. We get a little sloppy with our words. Psalm 102, excuse me. We get a little sloppy with our words. And I know we talk about this all the time, forsaking while sitting here. Again, walking into the house of the Lord with a bad attitude. If your attitude is you want to know the Lord, you want to praise the Lord, you want to hear the word, because whether it hurts your feelings or it doesn't hurt your feelings, you want to hear the word of God, you're on the edge of your seat, you're engaged, you're focused, you're centered on the Lord, you're centered on what's going on, as opposed to your mind's working on your worries, your mind's working on your wants, you got things planned, you got places to go, you got things to do. Stuff's going on at the house. It's getting late. Why is this guy preaching again? We sent him away years ago for a reason. Right? You can forsake while you're sitting there. Verse 21, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Do you come here with the purpose to talk about Jesus and to declare him in his house for his glory and for his honor? Psalm 99 here in verse 9. Psalm 99 in verse number 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. This is his holy hill. This is the Mount Zion. This is where he dwells. You come here to worship. Now, I love that season of prayer. I love our prayer meetings. I love to be able to hear about those that are sick and afflicted because I do trust the power of God. If it's his will, he can heal anybody. And he's waiting for us to ask him about it. If that's the main of our services all the time, if that's the main of our discussions all the time, if that's all we want to talk about, then we're not doing our job. Because if you're out there doing your work, you're going to have lots to say about, man, I got this coworker, I got this neighbor, I ran into this person at the grocery store, this gas attendant said that. We need to pray for them. They live right here. They're just two houses down. They're around the corner. They're four blocks over. I tried to get them to have a Bible study. I invited them to this. I invited them to that. Prayed they get here. That's all it takes is one meeting, one half hour, one time sitting down, one question answered. Pray. Because God is good and God wants and God has a will. And that's what God desired. I mean, there's things that we can do. 99 here in verse number 9, what does he say again? Exalt the Lord our God. Look at Psalm 132. Here in verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. Oh, man. Isn't that a cherry on top right there? So what's your priority? Where do you want to be? I can tell you where God wants to be. I can tell you where God wants to be. He desires this place. Do you? Isn't that something? Think about that. So Psalm 2 says, or Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are a spiritual habitation of God. He hath desired it for his habitation. He has desired you and I to be fitly framed together through salvation, baptism, and a covenant with Jesus Christ and his church. He desires that. That's a fervent will. Do you have that for him? Okay, those are those rhetoricals. Save that for your time in the mirror when you're looking through the scripture. We're going to read this whole Psalm 133. Bear with me. It may take a while. Again, this not the opinion of man, not the idea of man. It's God's word. This is God's attitude. This is how God sees it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went to the skirts of his garments. Now, sometimes when you go back and you read this in Exodus and you see how all this stuff went down, you really didn't see the attitude of preciousness in men, but to God. Whew, man, to God, this was what he wanted. He wanted a people that would just love him and work with him and worship him. And one day he says, I'm going to lift you up too. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. Man, think about that. We're going to end with that one. Song leader, pianist would come. Think about that. I know we all have aches and pains. I know we're older and we're tired and we work hard. We sit here and we say, man, when is he done? When can we get out of here? I'm tired. My bones hurt. Everybody's bones hurt. Everybody's tired. But if you catch yourself having these negative ideas about being in the house of the Lord, it's going too long. I've lost my attention. The kids are getting restless. Use the rod more in the home and they won't get restless. Train them more in the home. They won't get restless. Condition yourself to be with God longer in the home and you won't mind it when you're in his presence. I'm not sure how we're going to handle eternity in his presence if we can't handle an hour or two on this earth. But think about the desire of God and what he's really looking for. He's really looking for you to change your heart through Bible study and through application and through sharing that word with one another and letting your light shine in the house and being brethren, dwelling in unity for the sake of Christ and growing in him through the word and just making your heart have more affection to God today than you did yesterday. So let's all stand.